Good evening. Good to see everybody here on this cold and wet night. Let's see. All right, go ahead and dismiss the children. And tonight we're on number 17, veracity number 17. And before we get going, let's take a moment of silent prayer. And that just means that we can get in gear by confessing our sins to God the Father. He is then faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which allows us to not only learn the word, but also to apply it. So let's go ahead and take a minute and we'll do that and we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for the grace that you keep continually provide us every day. We thank you so much for the plan that you have always available and ready. And we thank you for your word, which is always sufficient for our everyday needs. We thank you and we ask tonight that we can concentrate on your word and be able to apply these things that we hear. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are, veracity number 17. I didn't think veracity would go that far, but it has. And up to this point, we've been hearing about how beneficial it is. As far as truth goes, as far as wisdom is concerned, and that's really, when I think of benefit, I think of the application, the intake and the application, you know, all the way through the process there. And so that's kind of what we've been talking about is the wisdom side of the house. So in the last few verses we've been seeing is that wisdom isn't by itself. It comes with blessings. It always has blessings with it, and it carries those blessings to anyone who is associated with it. And that was an exciting thing, I think, for us to know that, you know, this is not all for nothing, right? We do, God does give us some enjoyment to be able to experience on this earth through faithfulness of Him. So, and I think the most important part of, from a Christian responsibility standpoint, is that wisdom must be followed. And so, in order to do that, we can see that if we follow that trail to the end, God honors that. And that's an important concept as a Christian to remember, because a lot of times you can derive motivation from that. I truly believe that motivation in the plan of God comes from different areas. It comes from a lot of different things. And one of the ways God gives us motivation is through blessings. No doubt about that. And so don't forget about that. And that's what these verses have been continually reiterating about the benefits of the wisdom and what it does in our life and how we can use it and benefit from it. And so we're down to verse 32. And this is also, remember, we got into the last three commands here of chapter 8. And this is, we've covered this verse, but let me go ahead and read it because this is where the first command was. And the next two are following this verse. It says, "Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways." You know, pretty straightforward verse. Listen, and blessed are those who keep my ways. In other words, keep the ways of wisdom, which means keep God's ways, keep the ways of truth. Keep these ways as far as your life, your thinking is concerned, your dealings with other people. Keep my ways. Very clear to understand that. And the command in this verse was listen. Listen. I was thinking about this. What a huge part of the Christian life. Listen, right? That's how we receive. You can count reading in that too. I consider listening. The point of this is we're intaking wisdom or truth and applying it and keeping God's ways by that intake. And you know, that comes in a lot of different ways. We have sight, we have eyes, we have hearing with our ears. And so God has allowed us many ways to do that, but and thankfully we have a brain to process these things, or at least we think we do sometimes, right? Depends on the day, but you get the point. So the idea of keeping here means, see where it says keep my ways? It means to watch or preserve. And when I think about watching or preserving the ways of wisdom or the ways that God has instructed us to keep, I think of the maintenance of your spiritual life. If we're preserving something, we're maintaining it. We're preserving its health as far as that relationship is concerned. So there's something to keep when it comes to our Christian responsibility. And we do that by believers in Jesus Christ in growing, maturing, being consistent, as we've learned so many times to do. And so that's maintenance. When I think of preserving something, that's exactly what it refers to. So to keep means to continue to move forward in the plan. Continue to move forward in God's plan. Don't stop. Don't look back. And don't take a break for too long, right? But we will do every one of those things. But the idea is to not do them for an extended period of time, right? We'll all make bad decisions, but the point is to keep moving in the right direction, even though you will fall every once in a while. So to keep something means that we don't slack off and let loose of wisdom. Remember, if you're preserving something, you're maintaining the health of that relationship. You're preserving it, you're keeping it, you're guarding it. That's another definition, meaning of this word. And so if we're going to guard what we have in Christ, what we have through Scripture, guess what that means to us? This is a daily thing as a Christian that we have to continually come and be a faithful and responsible Christian as far as taking in the Word. And I think that's what we all do. That's the objective in the Christian way of life, is to learn as much as we can about the mind of Christ. And that's what the Bible is to us. It's God's mind that He's given us, and He's allowed us to think with His thoughts. So it's an important concept. So you would want to preserve this. Because remember, when we don't preserve this relationship and this intake of our responsibility of God's truth, guess what happens? It is filled with the false of this world, right? So, and you know that concept. We're constantly bombarded with false and the world, our own sin nature we have to struggle with. So the last thing we want to do is to take a break, because we're not preserving the intake or that relationship that we should with God. So to preserve can also mean to keep from injury, to keep from injury. And when I thought about that, I thought, you know, that's exactly what we're doing. As we grow in grace and knowledge of God and His plan, we're preserving ourselves from injury. You are. That's what essentially, you don't really think about that a lot, but there is a preservation that's happening both physically and spiritually. Both of these are happening. So the preserving God is always doing on our behalf, and He does it in many ways. He can preserve you, you know, from discipline is one of those ways. That's just one out of the many. Every circumstance that we find ourselves in is happening for a reason. It's not just by random chance. It's a very specific purpose. It's a very specific reason. And God is working within those circumstances. And guess what? He has the power to preserve you, both physically and spiritually. So the matter of the fact is that we have a responsibility in that preservation as well, to be in it, to be associated with it, to constantly be hearing and in the intake of the Word. And then here are finally the last two commands. But before I get to there, when you think about preservation and keeping yourself from injury, the first thing I think about is good decisions keep us out of discipline, right? Isn't that the whole idea around the Christian way of life? All we do is learn how to think properly and how to make right decisions when we get outside of these doors and how to glorify God. That preserves you. That's how we stay within God's grace as far as the spiritual life is concerned. So, and here we are to verse 33. It says, heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. So this is another clear, these verses are pretty clear, but they're to the point as well. And this one is to the point, and it's got two commands in it. Two commands in it. One is heed, and the other one is be wise. Now, heed, the word heed is the exact same word you saw in the last verse that was translated listen. It's the exact same Hebrew word, but the translators decided to translate it heed, which is a good translation. Listen and heed both have the following sense to them, right? They both have an obedience kind of aspect to them, that we're supposed to listen and follow. Heed, in other words, not just hear, right, but follow after the fact and follow through, you could say. So this is a good translation. It brings out the obedience aspect of this. Obey God's instruction and be wise. Another way you could say that, right? Same exact thing. Obey instruction or God's wisdom, His word, and be wise. I like the way it just turns over into immediately another imperative. A command, it says heed, obey, and be wise. In other words, you can go on your way if you follow those two commands. That's like a Christian life in one little sentence and two commands. Obey and be wise. Now, this is easier said than done, because we know obeying is one part of this and having wisdom is another. Because remember, the obedience starts here, but it doesn't end here. It ends when you're actually on the outside of this building and applying it to your life or to your circumstances that you're in. So the wisdom happens from the applicational end of this. So there is technically two parts to this verse, two commands for a very specific reason. Even though they may seem similar, I do think they are connected for sure. You can't have wisdom unless you're obedient and hearing and listening and heeding God's word. There's no possibility of wisdom if we skip that first part. Anyways, so as you know, listening to instruction comes before wisdom. Comes before making any wise decisions on the outside. We have to have the content to be able to make a decision with. That's the idea here. There's a start to this and there's a finish, you could say. So that's that process that we kind of talked about. Now, to listen and not be wise is an option. You can listen. And what I mean by listen, I mean be obedient to a certain point. There's always a point we can take the plan of God or what He tells us to do, and we can short circuit that process by being obedient on the hearing, being obedient on the learning and knowing better. In other words, you have a conscience as a believer and you're growing and you know right from wrong and you know what God's word says about certain things. But when it comes to the applicational part, we stop. So we tend to show up and learn a lot, but when we go outside and apply in certain situations, we kind of have a shortcoming there. So we can, at the same time, listen and not be wise. And guess what? We all do it all the time. The hope is that you don't do it a lot, right? The less we can hear and not be wise, the better. the more we want to be wise and make wise decisions. So we don't want to have that breakdown in the process. And I think it's safe to say that we don't always listen to instruction. We are human, and our minds do drift, right? We get distracted pretty easily sometimes, depending on what's going on. But you get the idea. There's many different points of entry that can break this process down, and it starts here, right, with hearing, and it continues on to the outside world, to you actually glorifying God in your life, reflecting His thinking in the people around you, with the people around you, with those associations. So, and of course, when we don't listen or heed to divine thought, then there's no way you can glorify God or be wise. So the verse is pretty well common sense, I would think. But and that's why God gives us these commands. He always gives us commands because, remember, they're for our benefit. And this is no different because, as you well know, when we're not obedient and we're not making wise decisions, life can be very, very challenging. Life can be tough. It can be hard. There can be situations where we feel like there is no answers. And it's because this process has broken down right here. This exact process. So there can be many things that happen where we're not applying. But it's funny how so many people try to shortcut this process. You know, I do think God has made it easy for us. He's given us His completed word. He's given us His scripture. And He's provided us with people that are able to talk about it, teach it. He's given us the Holy Spirit, who's able to teach our human spirit and also to be able to take this information and go outside and live it. He's given us all these things. But a lot of people like to shortcut the process, and we've talked about that a lot. As what do I mean by shortcut? Well, if we don't take these two commands to listen and be wise, or heed instruction and be wise, there's a lot of different things that happen. The sin nature wants the easy way out of this. The sin nature wants to appear like they're doing this, but they don't want to necessarily go through all the process because that takes a lot of effort. There's a lot of things like humility that are involved in the process. There's a lot of things like the faithfulness of the believer, the time of the believer, the sacrifice of the believer that come into play that aren't necessarily a priority in certain people's lives. So you could see how when we shortcut this process, I'm not saying you will turn into this, but I just want you to know that there are people that have done this and don't intend to, or at least immediately intend to, bring it back the way they should. And all that means is they just want to satisfy the desires of the flesh in a very subtle way, unfortunately. So through, how do they do that? The things the world has to offer. You know, we all desire things of this world. We all desire to have fun, to enjoy the world. But we have to have our priorities straight. We have to realize where things come from, who gives and who takes away. We have to realize where the blessings that these verses are talking about, where's the source? And I think we talked a little bit about that Sunday, about blessings and about where and how we view them, where our position is on them, where we fit into that picture when God blesses us from being associated with Him and His word and wisdom. So there's a lot of things that are going to pull at your strings when it comes to the world, and you know that. There's things like entertainment. There's a social aspect. There's camaraderie. And there's that image that a lot of people are looking to you to be. And a lot of people will shortcut this process by just being that image without the content in the soul. And that's what I don't want you to be. That's what the world wants you to be, but that's not what I want you to be, because it's not a genuine Christian. It's pretty on the outside, but ugly on the inside. We want to be pretty through and through. We want to be pretty on the outside, what I say, what I do, and also pretty on the inside of the soul. So if we're not shortcutting this, guess what you have is a genuine Christian that has seen the process all the way through as God has designed it to be. So you can see there's things that people are interested in and place God second. And I just refer to that as having negative volition. If there's things in this world that are more important to you than the word, than receiving the word, heeding instruction and being wise, well, then you've placed God number two. And that's simply called negative volition. You're not positive to God's plan for your individual life. And that's something we need to work on as people. And I think that comes progressively over time, right? You don't become a new believer and stay on fire for 80 years. Sorry, you don't do it. That's just not a reality. You became a believer and you slowly progressed in a love relationship to the point where you fell in love. You got to know your God and your Savior on the other end of these pages of Scripture and realize those are real words. These are things that are in my soul and I'm actually able to live, think with. This relationship never leaves. It's always with me every day. And all of a sudden now, you know, we're feeling more relaxed, we're feeling more comfortable, and most importantly, happier. Isn't that the objective of the entire human race? Is the search for happiness? Here it is, right here. It's here. God provides this with us, and He says, take it, just follow it, and it really does work. But there's the sin nature again, right? It just makes too much sense to say heed instruction and be wise. There's got to be a catch, and there is. It's our volition. It's the sin nature and heeding instruction from your own flesh versus being obedient to God's instruction. So there is there's a struggle there, right? And you just have a bunch of people who are not obeying the Word of God, which means you have a bunch of unwise people. And that's not preserving in nature. It's not preserving. It's not preserving their physical life. It's not preserving their spiritual life. And you as a person can look on the outside and see these results of the lack of preservation in a person's life because they've rejected placing God as their number one priority. God will very slowly eat away and show them where they're failing in His plan. He does that in many different ways. And He's very good at it. He always has a way to get our eyes back on Him, or at least gives us the option and shows us where we're failing, what is taking up too much of our time, and where we should be back or where we shouldn't be, right? So if you want to know how to have God's wisdom, it tells us right here. Obey instruction and be wise. But look, there's a little bit more. It says, and. There's that addition. And do not neglect it. Your translations might say, do not ignore it. Refuse is another one. Disregard or disdain. Some translations say disdain. That just means the feeling that someone or something is unworthy of one's consideration or respect. That's what the word disdain means. In the English is what it means. It's a basic word, but if something is not worthy of your consideration, at least to the point that it should be in this context, and we're talking about a relationship with God, if that's not worthy enough, well, then there's a problem. There's another part of the breakdown, right? So we have heed and be wise, and then there's an addition, and do not neglect it. In other words, it has to be worthy. It has to be the level of respect that it deserves in our life. People don't usually come out and say God's wisdom is not worthy of my attention. It's just not something we do. It's not something that even a Christian that's just a Christian on the outside and not on the inside will do. No one would do that, right? But that's exactly what a lifestyle of not reflecting Christ in your life does. It says that God's relationship with you is not worthy enough to be on the level that it should in your personal life. And that's different for all of you. I understand that. You all have obligations. I'm not trying to minimize what you have to do or don't have to do. That's always going to be there. But you have to begin to factor in the priority with those things. Because without that being number one, these other things will constantly take that number one slot. And all of a sudden you look back and say, here we are again. I'm trying to get out from under this thing that I got under, and I'm trying to put my relationship with Christ back on top. So, and that just boils down to not neglecting at the end there, right? Don't keep having to come back and pull yourself out of the water there. So when I think of the word neglect, I think of an animal, right? You've all watched those animal shows. They're all kind of sad at some point or another, right? But I think of a mother who neglects a baby for some reason. And she's usually justified in doing that. It's usually for a reason, right? There's something wrong with the baby, but it's sad to see, right? This baby, they'll stop feeding the kid. And all of a sudden the child is malnourished, it's suffering, and it'll eventually die. And the point is, the mother is actually doing the baby a favor, because this baby is going to grow up and have a problem, right? But it's still not easy to see that happen and see the process. Be better off to just take the bird, fly it up 1,000 feet and drop the thing, right? Instead of just leaving it there to suffer, or whatever animal you have in mind. So, and that's kind of what I think about when I think about neglecting the spiritual life. That's kind of what we're doing to ourselves in a way. We need that nourishment from the Word. We need that sustenance. We need to keep growing. The baby, they constantly have to be fed. And it's no different with us. We constantly have to be fed and nourished, or otherwise, guess what? We start to lose that nourishment that we need, and therefore we start to stumble and deteriorate physically and spiritually. So that's what neglect does. And it doesn't take long for that to happen. It doesn't take long for that to happen at all. So that's the concept of neglecting wisdom. So where sin is, there's also discipline. There's also suffering. There's pain. And there's eventual death, which we all know very well. We're all acquainted with all these things because we have sin in us. Well, guess what? The more you sin, the more you deal with these things. The more you sin, the more you deal with these things, and actually the quicker you deal with death. Especially for the believer. That's called the sin unto death. That's a biblical thing, unless God wants to just allow you to suffer for a longer period of time. That's always an option as well. So, and I think we can count on all of these things in abundance when we neglect God's word. Pain, suffering, and discipline. And eventually death, right? We're all going to die at one point. But the question is, how are you going to die? I think there is a grace God provides to the faithful believer in death. So a malnourished Christian is a Christian who is consumed by mental sins. This is a malnourished Christian, one that hasn't been receiving enough spiritual sustenance to keep them moving in the right direction. And you know what that looks like? It's never good. Anger, bitterness, frustration, fear is a big one. Now, you know, we feel every one of these things. I'm not talking about the every once in a whiles. I'm talking about something that eats a person up because it's happening day by day by day because they don't have any nourishment from the Word of God. There's no wisdom to counteract the sin nature's results in their body, in the flesh, in their mind. So all they can do is be bitter. That's the only option for them. There is no solution. There's no, you can't counter that when you don't have anything to counter it with, right? So that's where wisdom comes in. So there, the neglect of wisdom is a serious thing. And I notice I didn't say they're neglecting going to church necessarily. You can neglect wisdom and go to church. Bet you didn't know that. Well, yeah, you did, because you live in America, right? You can neglect wisdom and go to church and not miss a service. So I don't think I have to explain to you that anger, bitterness, frustration, and fear are not what God offers us as a way of to live, as a way to live the Christian way of life. There's a better option. There's better options. If we're constantly out of fellowship, living in some kind of sin like fear, worry, anxiety, guilt, all these things, Jesus Christ has died on the cross for every single sin that we could ever commit. Think about that. That's a big deal, because there's certain sins in our life that we keep stumbling over, right? We keep stumbling over these sins. We have to understand that that was paid for too. That sin was paid for too. No matter what you did, it was paid for on the cross by Jesus Christ. And it wasn't easy, right? He had to die spiritually. He had to die physically for those sins. There was a process there. He had to live here for 33 years to do just that. Pay for our sins on the cross. So take advantage of that. And I don't mean go off and start sinning a lot. What I mean by that is start to realize that that sin has been paid for, and God has given us the ability to confess it, put it in His hands, and move forward. Because if you don't have the concept down that that has already been paid for and Christ Jesus has already paid that penalty, you cannot get the concept of forgiveness down in your own personal life every day. Forgiveness is a powerful thing when it involves your sin, personal sins. So we don't want to be malnourished or have these other issues because of something so easy that God has taken care of on the cross through Christ. You know, these things are available. So God offers us a better way always. And He offers us a better way, especially in adversity. I think that's when you can see it the most, right? So I think you get the point that neglect of wisdom brings nothing but problems in our life. Nothing but problems. When we neglect the Word of God, neglect the application of it, it brings a lot of problems. And it doesn't make it any easier when we don't have the means that we should have as Christians to defeat those whatever areas or to overcome certain things in your life or, you know, successfully pass that adversity test that God has placed in your life. We need the wisdom to do so. And if we don't have it, there's no resolve. There's no resolve to that. There may be some temporary resolution, right? There may be some people you can call and talk to that make you feel better for a minute. There may be some pill, some counselor, some whatever you can take. But guess what? None of it's lasting. None of it's in your soul. None of it's spiritual. I'm not saying you shouldn't do any of those things. What I'm telling you is that they're temporary. They're temporary. And we need to start focusing on what sustains us in a permanent way. And it's always available. It's just a matter of our decision and our volition going to the solution, going to God's solutions and not the temporary solutions. Sometimes those temporary solutions can help, right? There's always a Christian friend that we have that could give you some sound advice. I'm not saying don't stop talking to your friends or taking your medicine. If your mind's taking medicine, that's all good. We need those things, right? But to what level do you take that? When you start to depend on the temporary things of this world, you are not heeding and being wise. You can really elevate the temporary things over God Himself and over the solutions that He offers us. So everything has its place. Everything has its place. And God has His place too. And that place is at the top of the list. So there's a lot of solutions. The point is about which one are you going to make a decision to go for. Is it God's solutions or is it the world's? So God always gives us the option, right? He always gives us the option. And He always gives us the option for a better way and towards resolution. Always. He never doesn't give us that option. Always. But guess what? There is a million and one human solutions to a problem. There's a million and one. But I just talked about that. None of them are God's solution. None of them. Not one of them. You've heard it 1,000 times. Spiritual problems must be solved with spiritual solutions. They have to be. They have to be. They have to come from wisdom. They have to come from truth. They have to come from God. That's the only place they can come from. If we're not receiving solutions that are spiritual in nature, we're not solving anything, really. We're putting a Band-Aid on something that's going to bite us probably shortly thereafter we put that Band-Aid on. So instead of constantly battling with the same things over and over and over that Satan wants you to do, by the way, why not listen to truth and beat Satan's plan and say, you know what, you're not the solution. This is the solution right here. And that solves the problem. God always has a solution and a better way. Until we, what do? We reject it. But He does give us the option. But there's times where people can reject. We ignore Him. We ignore going to church. We ignore the intake of the Word. We ignore wisdom and application. And then we're in a position to receive something that's not fun, right? Discipline from God. But that's kind of what we invite on ourselves. We should be prepared, right? We should be, here we go, right? Because we should know better as believers in Jesus Christ at this point. So, we just can't neglect. This word neglect has a pretty wide range meaning here, at least in our own personal lives. And this is why this verse gives us two commands from the beginning. Two commands from the beginning before it gets to the neglect. It starts, heed and be wise, and then it says, do not neglect. Right? It's kind of like the icing on the cake. We continue in obedience. We continue in through the process and we make wise decisions and then do not neglect. Because guess what? Once you neglect, everything else goes by the wayside. All your effort, all the things that you heard and received and were obedient in the past aren't going to help you if you're neglecting. They're not going to help you. They helped you then because you weren't neglecting. You were staying true and faithful to the Word, right? But you can see where neglect of God and His Word can have a serious impact. So, heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect. And then here's verse 34. It says, more blessings. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates and waiting at my doorpost. Now, this is kind of a neat verse. It's kind of a different take on wisdom and our attitude toward wisdom. I came across kind of a different translation that I'll show you here in a minute, but listen what we just heard. We just heard, blessed are those who keep my ways, and now we're hearing blessings to the one who listens to me. Very similar. The one who keeps my ways, and now the one who listens to me. Kind of the same almost, aren't they? I think they're very similar in meaning, since you have to listen in order to keep God's ways. You do have to listen and you, in order to keep God's ways. So they definitely go together. So they're both necessary to be obedient. We can say that. And anytime we see this word blessing here in this verse, or blessed, and it's directed towards us, our ears should start to perk up. And they do. Mine do. So, well, how do I do that? How do I get those? Right? How what do I need to do? And that's exactly what I thought when I started seeing these words, blessings. Well, what is God telling us that He wants from us in order to receive this blessedness or these blessings? Well, the first thing is to listen. That's the first thing, is to just listen. That's simple. We just talked about that. And there's some additional things that are coming up in this verse. And look where we came. Look where we came up to this verse. Remember, we're in verse 34. First, we started with understand, right? Listen, take instruction, listen, keep His ways, listen. And that was the heed. That was the same word to His instruction. Be wise, and now listen again. Talk about repetition. Wow. And I thought, you know, it's interesting that He started with understanding, which is what we must have, which is what we're doing, right? But guess what? If we're not listening, if we're not being, and remember that was the word for obedience, if we're not taking what we're hearing and going out there with it, we lose the point of what these verses are making. Yes, we have to be here. Yes, this is something we do, but look where more the emphasis is placed. To listen to what you're hearing. To listen to what you're hearing. It's not just to understand. It's to take what you understand and go. And go. And do something with it. Don't just be a Christian, a bump on a log, right? We want you to do something with that. That's why God has you here. To actually do something with what He's given us. This wisdom is very impactful. It's very impactful. And that's why God wants you to use it. He wants you to use you. He wants to use you. Excuse me. So take it for what it is and know for certain that if we understand it, there's a possibility, or at least there should be in our mind, that God is going to do great things with that. And there's no doubt that He will if we're open to it, if we're willing to continue in that direction and allow Him to use us in whatever way He wants to use us. I can't say that's going to be the way you desire, but it will be a way He desires. And you know what? At the end of the day, our desires line up with God's desires. You will come to an understanding, whether you're just starting or you're in the middle of the process, you'll look back and say, you know what? God was right. Every single time. It's not what I wanted, but it's what God wanted. And it's always perfect. It's perfect. Despite the sin nature, despite all our bad decisions, what He planned for your life is absolutely perfect. And that's part of what wisdom does. It recognizes the things in that path that God wants you to go down, and it actually does something about it. There's so many people that are not doing anything about, you know, what these verses are telling us and taking God's instruction. I mean, look at the things that are inserted in here that I didn't highlight. You know, they kind of sprinkled in here. Take, keep, be wise, right? Those come with the package here to understand and to listen. They're just kind of sprinkled through this because they're a part of it as well. So blessings, that's how, at least part of how we can receive these blessings. So we're seeing some things that what God wants us to do. What does He desire from us? Here they are right here. And definitely you can see the repetition. And that's for a reason, right? God puts emphasis on things when He wants to put emphasis on them. It's no difference for me if I reiterate something. It's not because I forgot that I said it. It's because it needs to be said. And that's the reality, because if I'm seeing it again, yes, I know it. Yes, I've learned it before. I've seen it 1,000 times. But you know what? It's just something that I need to say again. I can't tell you how many times growing up I said, you know what, Pastor, you said that 1,000 times. Oh, yes, I've heard that. I used to hum in my head and kind of tune out. But the reality is now I catch myself doing it to you. So now you're always saying that again, but we need it. We need it, right? And I'm realizing now that we're humans, and sometimes you need to hear certain things at certain times in your life so that application works the way we want it to work. Even those basic doctrines, you know, sometimes we think, oh, I got that. But the Word of God always has a way to bring out kind of different looks and views of it. And sometimes that's just what we need. So that's why we have listen here four times, not just two, like understand, four times. So you can understand all you want to, but if you don't listen to what you've understood, what's the point? I say there's no point, right? So, but there's more. See here, it says, watching daily at my gates and waiting at my doorpost. Two more things that God is waiting to see in your thinking that are around these blessings. Watching daily and waiting. Now here's this, I came across this another translation for this Bible verse. And you know, I got the translation down and I didn't get which translation it was. So if any of you can figure out what translation this is, I would appreciate it and let me know about it. It says, happy are those, this is the same verse, happy are those who listen to me, who are present every day at my door and who keep vigil at the entrance of my house. What a great way to say that. You know, it kind of brings out the idea of what the verse is really trying to tell us. Notice there's something that's going on here about being present every day. Every day. There's something about wisdom that wants us to be there all the time. Be present. So what this is referring to is how important what you're doing right now is. That's what it's referring to. It's referring to your faithfulness as a believer to know what God wants you to know. That's what it's referring to. And it's telling us to be to show up every day. To be present. I'm not saying you have to physically show up here. I'm just talking about you have to worship, study the Word, have a time for yourself every single day. It's a daily thing that we all have to at least get moving toward that daily thing. It's got to be a part. There's a present every day here. Because for someone to do something every day, guess what that takes? Dedication. It takes dedication on your part. As a growing believer, you will become more dedicated if you are positive to what God is telling you in His plan. And with dedication comes what? Consistency. There's the daily part of this. Consistency. Present every day. But it also shows, I think it shows a personal desire that stems from a few different things. Right? We all have a desire to do or to move forward in the plan of God for a few different reasons. I think one of those reasons is because we realize there is a humility, authority, obedience aspect to the Christian way of life. But there's also another part of this. It's not just this is what I'm supposed to do and that's it. There's also a part of this that we desire, we enjoy, we anticipate what we are going to learn and receive and be able to think with from the Word of God. And there's another aspect called love that we all know about. This is a relationship that we are growing in, not just a friendship. It's a relationship that involves a very personal sense. It's very intimate, and God wants us there every day. Getting to know Him a little bit more and more, because He realizes that our time is limited. He realizes that our time is very limited on this earth, and He says, you know what, I have to tell Him every day. Otherwise, what's the point? I'm just going to let Him go off and miss a week, miss 2 weeks. This is a relationship, and it's growing or it's not growing. You're getting to know or you're not getting to know better and better. So there's really only two options, right? So I think that does show your personal enjoyment to what you're doing. And ultimately, I think the spiritual life should be something that we cherish, that we cherish. We hold dear to us. It's something that's unique. It's something that you can't find outside in the world, that the world will offer you. Look at this nice, big, fancy thing. If you do this, this, and this, you'll be this. No, this is what provides that. And this is what provides those solutions. So that's something to look forward to. And I think we all start to move in that direction and have that attitude that God wants you to realize and how that will play out in your lives. And, you know, I think there's another piece of this is that we all know what success looks like in the plan of God as a growing believer. We've seen it through people in the Bible. We know that God's word tells us that there's plenty of success to be had. And it tells us right here, we're talking about blessings. These are things that we want to receive, right? Yes. So, one thing about being in God's will for your life is that there is always something to look forward to. Always. There's always something to look forward to if you're in the will, in what God desires for your life, the path you're supposed to be on. There's always something to look forward to at all times. Even when you don't think there is, there always is. Now, you know, sometimes we don't think that way. That may be another story. But the reality is, there is. And sometimes this may be hard for some of you since life can sometimes throw a lot at you. I realize that. I understand that. I'm human, right? Life can throw us some curveballs. It can throw us some pretty bad ones, right? We've all experienced that or experienced them now, some of you. But I still stand firm on there's always something to look forward to in the plan, in the will of God, if we're in it. And we want to be in it, and you are in it. You're moving in that direction. So don't get too focused on what's happening. Get focused on what we're supposed to be doing within God's plan for your life. He wants you to not focus on the things that are temporal and fleeting and going away, which include all the things that hurt, pain, suffering. He wants you to say, greater is He that is in you than the things that are in the world, which means we should be able to focus on what's inside in your soul. God is not only eternal, but He's also in you as well. So remember, this is very, very personal. So this takes all what this verse is talking about, being present every day. And so even though you may not feel like there's something to look forward to, without this consistency, you will have a harder or impossible time at handling those curveballs that life throws at you. You will. And that goes back to what I mentioned about not having the necessary content in your soul to be able to deal with the problems. And then we see waiting at my doorpost. Waiting at my doorpost. Or as this translation says, keep vigil at the entrance of my house. I like that. That's a good translation. We actually saw this same word in verse 32, which said, blessed are they who keep my ways. Blessed are they who keep my ways. And the Hebrew word means to keep, to watch, or preserve. You just heard that. To keep, to watch, or preserve. Look at there. Same idea about maintaining you're moving forward in the spiritual way of life. Keep vigil, preserve, maintain, guard. Stay guard, stand watch at the entrance of my house. In other words, stay there, protect it, hold it, cherish it, value it. It's something that has meaning in your life. In other words, don't let anything and come and take that away. Because there's so much available that is going to try to take it away. Don't let anything come in between you and this relationship that you have with God. Don't let it happen, because it's just not worth it, right? It's just not worth it as a believer. It's not only bad on you, but it affects other people around you as well. So you have an impact. Remember that. And that's why this word also means to guard. So there's preserve here in the same word, actually. So we're responsible for guarding the wisdom that we have. And guess what is with that? Your routine around how you get to know God, which includes all the things that go into your personal Bible study, right? We have to guard those things. There's a lot of things that can come in and take my time. There's a lot of things that can come in and take your time. You have to begin to guard that relationship. Realize that no matter what comes and tries to take my time, it's not as important as this right here. It's just not. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's going to be times where we do make that decision. We'll sacrifice, say, okay, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to do that. And there's nothing wrong with a break, right? Nothing wrong with a break. But realize, even when we take a break, you don't want to stop this. You don't want to stop being present every day. And you don't want to stop keeping a vigilant watch at the entrance of wisdom's door. We don't want to do it. We do not want to go there. So I think that's a good place to stop. And we will pick up with continue with this remaining verses, and then we'll pick up, move forward in verse 35. So with that being said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just seeing, not only seeing the truth, but having the wisdom necessary to know that we're not going to stop, and to see your plan moving forward, and to realize that there is always a solution available to us, and always a positive and a better way to take if we're only willing to take it. We thank you so much for giving us all these options. We thank you for giving us Jesus Christ, which is the option that we must choose in order to be eternally saved and in a relationship with you. You sent your son Jesus to this earth to die on the cross for our sins for one reason, so that we wouldn't have to pay the penalty. We couldn't pay the penalty, but also so that we could have a relationship with you, so that we could be eternally saved forever with you. And you offered that to us by grace and through faith. Your word tells us we're saved by grace through faith. That is not of ourselves. It is a gift, a free gift, so that we cannot boast. We thank you so much. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.